Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you.
Somebody say the Power series. Now, any of us grow up, watch the Power Team? Anybody remember the Power Team on TVN? Yeah. Now, okay. Some of us was like, oh yeah, I remember the Power Team. I mean, like they ripped a few more shirts than Hulk Hogan, man. You know what I'm saying? But the Power Team was powerful. I actually saw one guy before live. And I saw him rip a phone book in half. And it was a thick one, not one of those little phone books. You know, we got the dinky ones these days, right? They actually just brought one to my house. I'm like, man, who uses these things anymore? Like, we got internet and all that. Like, I burn them. That's what I use them for. So, actually, we had a nice fire that day. But I will say this. When he ripped the power... when he ripped the phone book, it shocked people. And see, I was like, man, how hard is that? This is what I said. I went home and I tried it. I didn't rip not one page. You know, I was like, man, this can't be that hard. I mean, he's big, but dang, I should at least be able to rip half of it, right? So what captivated us was the what? The power that these people had. Or the strength. The guy that we used to do the fair with, Bishop Freeze, he started doing some of that stuff. And it was funny, man. He was telling us, yeah, man, I was running through ice, breaking ice. And he was like, the first time, man, I didn't know if I was going to get through it. But they trained themselves to be powerful. Amen? And that's a analogy, or that's something that we can actually see with our eyes, where people were walking with power. Right? And it's not always just big and bulky, because some of the big and bulky people can't break the ice. They can't run through the whatever they run through. But what I will say is this, that God is calling us to access and walk in the power that he has for us. I've talked on several things. I talked about the power of God's word. I talked about the power of a relationship with Christ. I talked about the power of prayer. And that was the last point I left off on. And today, I'm going to talk about tongues. Uh-oh, say he said tongues and the Spirit, okay? Now this is one of the, both of these two are some of the most misunderstood things in church, right? Some people think, hey, if I speak in tongues, everything will be all right. Some people think that tongues is the only evidence of them being saved. Some people say will speak in tongues and not have any, when you speak another language? No translation of the tongues? Interpretation? Yeah, that's right. Some people use tongues and we fight over tongues. If you don't speak in tongues 3 hours a day, you're not holy. That's what Pastor Nate might say, something like that, right? But we have to understand the power of tongues, amen? Now, this is crazy. One time I went into Les Schwab. I was on my job, my old job, thank God, driving a truck, and one of my tires was messed up. So I had to go in there, and sometimes they would just let you sit there while they fix your truck. So I'm in there, and I ran into a guy. He knew Pastor Nate. Pastor Gail from way back when they were going to Casey Trees Church. And one thing he was like, the first thing he asked me was, do you speak in tongues? And I was like, okay, let me see. What is he going to say after this? Because, you know, sometimes it can get real deep. And I was like, yeah, I speak in tongues. I believe in the power of praying and speaking in tongues. And he was like, amen. So he actually took out the scripture and showed me some scriptures about tongues. Now, did you know that when you speak in tongues, it doesn't only edify you, but it edifies the body of Christ? Did you know that? So when I'm speaking in tongues, because what happens is the Holy Spirit starts to speak the most holy prayer. And it builds us up. Somebody say it builds us up. Now, a lot of people will say, when you speak in tongues, do you understand what you're saying? And there's a lot of scriptures that say with grunts, right? With grunt, this is a grunt. Mm. That could be a grunt. But it says, when we say, hey, God, and this is what I would say, man, if you've spoken in tongues and you're like, man, I have no idea what I'm saying, just say, Holy Spirit, use my words. And then what happens is the Spirit of God, and I'm going to get into some scriptures in a second, but the Spirit of God will quicken your memory to pray for something, right? Or let's say you know somebody is in trouble or something like that. You have no idea what they're dealing with. Somebody says, hey, I need prayer, and they don't, and somehow their phone gets disconnected. What are you going to do? We could say, oh, God, touch Jenny or Johnny or whoever the person's name is. Just move in a situation. I mean, that can work. But when you start speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to even start moving in the direction that we need to move. So I would say this, man, before we get going into this, the Spirit of God in tongues is so vital that Jesus told the disciples to wait until they got it. Right? Now, we got a lot of unwaiting Christians today, right? Meaning they can't wait for anything, right? You tell them to wait, they give you 5 million excuses why they shouldn't wait. But when you tell them to, but and then when they go and do it, they come back and say, Pastor, how come you didn't tell me? Somebody say, how come you didn't tell me? How come you didn't tell me I was going to get into this trouble, Pastor? And then the pastor says, Pastor Nate was, son, I told you to wait. And he said that calm. But God told the disciples to wait for the Spirit of God and the speaking in tongues for a reason. Because we even see that the disciples went out before, while Jesus was there, they came back and said, Jesus, it didn't even work. We tried it just like you did. We said the exact same prayer that you said. I mean, I wrote it down. I was taking notes. I mean, like, I've been under you, Jesus, for the last 3 years. I've been taking notes. When somebody's blind, spit in their eyes. That's what they probably had it right there to the okay, spit in the sand, do just like Jesus. How many of you know that disciples was probably doing that kind of stuff? I guarantee Peter wasn't the only one that tried to walk on water. I always say this, man. Imagine the disciples after that. They'd be like, Peter, how did you do that? Wow. I mean, because we don't see what they said afterwards. They just said they were amazed. They might have went and said, Peter, do that again. Can you do that again? One more time, Peter, and we're going to catch it on camera. You know, whatever they had back then. But what God told them to wait. The only reason Peter was able to do that is because he was walking with Jesus. Not too many people have walked on water. Even the Israelites, they didn't walk on water. They walked on dry land. But what do we see here? We see that Jesus told the disciples, wait, for my comforter is going to come and strengthen you and empower you. So that you can, and my wife is laughing, man. Stop laughing at me. It's gonna strengthen you to move and go to the places that I've called you. This is why the Spirit of God and the tongues is so important. Now, I'm gonna say this. Tongues is not the only gift that we have. Because some people will stop there. Do you speak in tongues? Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, I've talked to so many people that, do you speak in tongues? I mean, if I didn't speak in tongues, it's like, man, well, I don't know. I mean, and then after that, tongues is the only thing you want to know about? But we see different gifts, and we're going to get into that. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Somebody said a power hour. Power hour. This is when the power, see, Thomas Edison wasn't the first one to invent power. Or the light. They had these people had lights in their head. We're going to find out what kind of lights they were. They were flaming lights, all right? Let's look at this. Somebody say, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, let me stop right there. First of all, there's something that is big in that scripture. Now, these church people, because this is church, right? They were in church. You can say that. They were the church, but they were gathered together in what?
One accord.
All right, now, oh, Lord. We done lost half the church right there because some people want a purple carpet. Other people want a burgundy carpet. Some people want praise and worship to last just 5 minutes. Other people want it to last 3 hours. Some people want the preaching to be 20 minutes. Some people want the preaching to be 3 hours. Now, we are not on one accord. How can we be on one accord? The Word of God says, unless two dwell in unity, what? They can't be together. And I'm paraphrasing. Somebody going to look that up. But unless two walk together, what does the actual King James Version say? Unless two are joined together. There we go. Yep. How could two people join together unless they are in agreement? There's a lot of people that are not in agreement. There's some people that say, well, hey, I like Acts chapter 2, verse 1, but let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 2. I'm not feeling that part right there. Acts 2, verse 2? Nah, let's skip that one. Let's go to the next scripture. How many, we know that people are into this, but we have to believe the full Bible. And this Bible that we have is not a myth. It's not some made-up stories, right? I mean, I believe every word that's in this book. Every word that's in the Bible is true. Whether my neighbor believes it or not, it's true. Whether the school system say, it's true. Now, I mean, if we start doing that, we might hurt a few people's feelings. But God didn't come to cause peace, the Word of God says, but to bring a sword to divide. This is how we know whether we are in God, is if some of the stuff that we do, if it offends people, that's a good thing. Even though somebody says, oh, did he just say it's all right to offend? If you are believing in the Word of God and the Word of God says this and you do the Word of God, you're going to offend people. Right? You can't believe God's word and walk in God's word and not offend some people. There's so many church people who are so polite, and I call them church people because they might not be the church, but we have so many people that are just so polite, they're so nice, they let anything go under the freedoms of God, right? But we have to believe this thing. Let's keep on going. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Somebody say suddenly. After they were on one accord, this is what happened. As of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Let's go to the next verse. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat up on each of them. Now let's just look at this real quick. Their hair was on fire. Just look at it. It sat upon each of them. Just imagine a flame coming and sitting on top of each and every person. Now some of us would be tripped out. Right? But God came to show his power. It says, and one sat upon each of them. Go ahead to the next one, please. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say filled. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see that the Holy Spirit brought his power down and they spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Now let me clarify this. They didn't speak in a tongue that they knew. Peter didn't start speaking in Spanish because he knew Spanish. Right? That doesn't count. Because that's not the Spirit of God giving you utterance. That's you training yourself, trying to learn a new language. But they spoke in a different language. Now what's crazy is I actually had somebody that spoke another language while we were at Victorious Life. Chamion was speaking in tongues. And he said, oh, man, he said this in German. And it was something that was powerful. It was something that was in the Word of God. And I was like, wow, I never had that experience before. But then I showed him, this is what the speaking in tongues is all about. He said, the word that he said was this. I can't remember the word that he said. He was speaking in tongues. I didn't know that tongue. But he was so just shocked that he said another language. And I know Chamion don't know any German. All right? So it was just powerful that this stuff that happened in there is still happening. Keep on going. The Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound, somebody say sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Now, let me keep reading this. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now, let's stop real quick. There's always going to be somebody, when you speak in tongues, that is confused. It was there in the beginning. They were confused. So what do confused people do? We'll find out in just a second, right? Let's go ahead. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So those are the people that understood what was going on, right? Let's keep on going. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? What does this mean, basically? Others, somebody say others. These are the confused ones. This is what happens. Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Now, they're not talking about the spirit, the new wine and old skins right there. They're talking about they're drunk. They're foolish. Now I've seen people that make fun of tongues because they are confused about it. A lot of times people, the things that they reject, they're scared of. They fear it. Now it said they were perplexed. They were like, whoa. Everybody say, whoa. When you see something that you're like astonished by, you do either one or two things. You were like, yeah, that was not. I mean, when you see a great hit in football, you know, some people will be like, oh, that hurt me. Oh, they don't like it. Other people will be like, whoa, I love it. I sometimes they throw a penalty flag with them, but hey. Football has changed. But what I would like to say is there were some that were perplexed, and there was others that mocked it. So imagine what they were doing. They probably went to their houses. Hey, do you know what happened today? These people were saying blah, 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 yeah. And I heard somebody say, untie my Honda or something like that. Right? Or bow tie my Honda. They heard something and they went and made fun of it because they didn't understand the power of tongues. Let's keep on going. But Peter, somebody say, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. You all right? For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Now, logically, he's saying we don't drink, first of all. But we don't get drunk at this hour anyway. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And I'm going to read this quote and then we're going to stop. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now let's stop right there. Now we see that women were included right here too. So women's rights didn't happen in the United States. This is what the word of God said was going to happen a while back. And this is when it happened, because he said, this is what happened. Right? Your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Yeah. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now, what we see is that coming to pass. Now, we have to understand that this speaking in tongues thing should not divide us, because once again, we have to come into unity. Now, I guarantee the people that received the Spirit of God and spoke in tongues weren't going home and making fun of it, right? They understood the power. They said, man, I never spoke a word in Latin before, and this person heard me proclaiming the gospel. Imagine how powerful that is. And 5,000 were added to that count that day, right? Somebody say 5,000. So once again, if God, Jesus, came to earth, walked with the disciples, told them, all right, go wait for the Holy Spirit, then how can we think the Holy Spirit is optional? Speaking in tongues, it's optional. I mean, you don't really need it. But if the disciples needed it, we need it even more. I mean, they saw Jesus. None of us have saw Jesus and lived, right? We might have seen him imagination in our dream. You know, you might have heard him speak to you. But we didn't see Jesus face to face. So some of them would say, I already have enough. I was kicking it with Jesus last night, right before he got hung on the cross. Yeah, that's my guy. So I'm going to go preach over here. No, they obeyed and waited on the Spirit of God. They waited for the Spirit of God. Amen? I'm going to talk about what else the Spirit of God does. We're going to go to John 4, verse 23 through 24. This is why the Spirit of God is important. And I'm not going to linger on tongues all night. That's just something that we have to look about, what tongues really is all about. Amen? There's speaking in tongues. There's praying in tongues. I can get into some of those later. But let's go to it says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Somebody say spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Now, keep going. Let me actually read that next verse. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. So what do we see here? There is a certain spirit that you need to be under or in to worship God. Right? You can't just go worship God in this is my spirit and I'm going to do what I like to do. You can't worship God like that. Right? Why not? Because the word of God says the true worshipers of God will worship in spirit and in truth. So it's in his spirit. The word of God even says this. You cannot come to God unless you are drawn by the Spirit. No man can enter into the kingdom unless they are drawn by the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is of vital importance. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, and we're going to see some of the spirits or the spirit and the gifts that we need to operate in. Because the spirit and these gifts, like I said, the speaking in tongues was not the only gift. Here's a few others. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Stop right there. Paul is telling you here, there's going to be some people who are going to be ignorant to the spirits of God, to the gifts of God, right? It just didn't happen in the 2000s. I was going to say the 90s, but it's the 90s. It didn't just happen in the 2010 decade where people were saying, I don't need these gifts. He said, look, I want to set the record straight. There's going to be people that are going to be ignorant about the gifts of God. The ignorant means that they either don't know or they don't want to know. They don't care. But it says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. I like that version. What? I never seen it like that. To these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's what I was just talking about. So once again, you have to be in the Spirit of God to join the Spirit of God and to worship the Spirit of God. These are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. Let's see some of the diversities. That means there's differences. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. Somebody say the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So once again, speaking in tongues is not only for my profit. It's for the profit of all. And this is profit without the, not the minister profit, but this is actually put it in your bank pocket kind of profit. Put it in your spirit. Add it in your spirit. Charge it. This is that profit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Okay, so word of wisdom is a gift here. All right? Through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now, wisdom and knowledge, how did you describe these? You described these before one time. So wisdom is when you figure out something, how the Spirit shows you how to do something that you may not have known what to do, right? And knowledge is when I've had this happen before. You might be talking to somebody and the Spirit of God tells you something about this person and you have no idea who you're talking to. I mean, like, it's like I don't even remember the person's name, but God told me this happened to you in your childhood. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the word of knowledge. It says, to another faith by the same Spirit. And I think that's interesting because it says faith by the same Spirit. There's some people that God has given just an extreme measure of faith. Just like God has given people tongues. He's given some the extreme measure of faith where they're saying, hey, man, I don't care what it looks like. I believe God. Some of us got that kind of faith. I know that. But he gave some of them another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, wait, did Paul say people are going to be ignorant about these things? Right? How many people do you know that somebody would say, oh, he's believing God? Man, he's a fool. That dummy. Go get a job. I mean, you think God can do everything for you, don't you? And then we say, yeah. But it says, Paul said, let me let you know. I'm going to set the record straight. Some people, they're not going to believe in these things. Once again, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Do you mean you can pray? I mean, we're continuing to, in our church, flow in the healing services. Some people say, man, what right does New Creation Christian Center have to call a healing service, right? Why are they doing that? Even people in the church, they say, healing service? These guys ain't going to heal nobody. I don't even believe in healing. They need to go to the doctor or something. They need to eat right. They need to drink more water. If they lived like the Israelites, they wouldn't have these problems. Now, the word of God said they're going to be ignorant to those kind of things. They're going to say so much stuff about it. They're going to have TV preachers talking about TV preachers because they heal. They're going to have all kinds of people doing all kinds of things because they're not going to believe. But guess what? We believe in the word of God. And Paul said this. Let's keep on going. Verse 10. To another working of miracles. Somebody say miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, we see a whole bunch of gifts here, right? But it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So does that mean some of us might have different gifts than others? Huh? Yep. Was tongues in there? So that's a gift some of us might have. But this is what I will say. Don't be ignorant and say, I got one gift, I'm good. I got one gift. I mean, it's just like that kid that goes around teasing people because he got that one toy. And then let the kids bring out their other toys. And he's looking at his toy like, oh, man, he got all those toys. It says the Holy Spirit is distributing this to whoever he pleases. But I'm going to tell you a secret. If you want these gifts, you got to get close to God. Amen. If you want these gifts, you got to say, hey, man, despite my understanding, because most of the time, a lot of these gifts flow together. All of them should be for the edification of the body. But a lot of times, God, you might actually operate in one a little bit higher than the other, but when you're doing the work of God, he's going to give you all of these. There might be a time where you prophesy. There might be a time where you speak in tongues. There might be a time where you pray in healing. There's going to be times where you have faith. Why? Because that's all part of working and following Jesus Christ. Do you guys think Jesus only had one of these gifts? Remember, Jesus, when he was writing in the sand, he wrote something that nobody understood. He wrote in tongues. Right? All it says is he wrote something in the sand. And people have, to this day, still are perplexed on what he said. They're playing Jeopardy on figuring out what he said. But what we do know is Jesus operating in all these gifts. We have the ability to operate in these gifts. And guess what? These gifts are powerful. Amen. I'm going to go to the power in your testimony. How many know there's power in your testimony? And I'm going to say this. For those that are listening, those that are here. When you, despite what you do, you're going to be powerful for God or powerful for the devil. Depending on what you do, not despite. Depending on what you do, you're going to be powerful for God or powerful for the devil. If you keep your mouth shut and don't tell nobody about God, you're powerful for the devil. Right? If you don't tell people your testimony, you don't tell how God saved your life, how he changed you. Just imagine somebody that was a player. We know a lot of people in the world that what it means to be a player is you try to have sex with as many women as you want. That's what you do. All right? Now, some players, they've got saved. Right? And say, hey, I'm done sleeping around. I'm not going to sleep with this person. And there's women players these days, too. But I'm not going to sleep around no more. And then some of their friends are like, what? That's your life, homie? Or that's your life, homegirl? Like, what do you mean you're not going to do it no more? And then when you tell them, man, I found something that's better than sex. Now you're like, they're like, whoa, wait. Hold up, let's sit down. What you find? What did you find? And you tell them, man, I found Jesus. And they're going to be like, man, he found, okay, well, we'll check with you next week. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they're going to say. The first time you say that, hey, well, we'll check with you next week and see if you want the same stuff. You must have got poisoned or some food poisoned. Say something. But when they come back and they keep on seeing you, man, I'm good. I don't need that anymore. I found Jesus. They're going to be like, man. Because nobody that has sex outside of their marriage feels complete. That's why they're trying to have sex with as many people as possible. And church talking sex? Yes, because we need to. But those people that are having sex outside of marital contents or the context of marriage, what happens is they are leaving themselves with different people, trying to figure out who they are, and they can't find out who they are, so they keep on trying to indulge in sinful pleasures to fulfill themselves. The Word of God says sin is fun for a season, but in the end, it brings death. Now, it might be fun for however long you last. It could be fun then. It could be fun at the party, but when you go home, oh, man, I'm depressed. I don't know, man. I need a woman or something. That's what these people are thinking. They're not satisfied. So when you tell the testimony of how God changed you and say, hey, man, that stuff don't satisfy me. I'm fully satisfied with my walk with Jesus. I can look back right now and look back in my old days and be like, man, why the heck did I do that stuff? Now I don't even feel comfortable looking at TV shows like that. When you start telling people that kind of stuff, they're going to be like, man, I need what he got. And he said it was Jesus? All right, I'm going to try this Jesus thing. But if you one of them people that I watched the poem, they said, the guy said, silence is homicide spiritually. When you're not telling people about God, you're like, hey, well, he don't need to know. He already, we might look at what they have because some of us are so materialistic and say, oh, he's good. He got a mansion. He got a Bentley. You know what I'm saying? On his Bentley is nice. Matter of fact, some of us is like, I wish I had what he had. But you don't want what he has. You already should have the thing that is stronger than all of the things that he has, which is Jesus. But we live in a world where our desires, we're led by our appetites, right? Let me keep on going because I can get on that for a minute. Let's go to Romans 10. And this is the last thing I'm going to. I'm gonna just stay there on the testimony, man. I'm gonna just say this: God is requiring us to really open our mouth. We living in America where there's plenty of people that are searching for what they call the pursuit of happiness, right? And what is the pursuit of happiness? Really, it's whatever they want, right? Some it might be a dog and a fence. Others, that's not in their pursuit of happiness. Matter of fact, that's in their pursuit of a problem. I don't want a dog. I'm sorry. But what we see is they accumulate their life and the things that they have in their life with happiness. So if I get a new car, I'm happy. It's 2010. If I have a 1990 something, oh man, my life is just horrible. If I could just get the new Camaro or Challenger or a new Mercedes, new Lexus, my life would be much better, right? So actually, America got smart and they said, hey, we'll give you what you want. It's just going to cost you, right? They said, oh, you want a new car? Just sign up for a loan. It's not going to hurt you in the beginning. You might be able to pay the payments for a year and we'll take it back from you as soon as you miss one payment, right? America functions on, and I ain't going to just say America, the world functions on the things that we want. That's why they have commercials to fuel in us, you want that cheeseburger, right? How many of us seen a McDonald's cheeseburger on TV? And they make that look good. They put the deep voice on with cheese. You know what I'm saying? Cheese is melting. Then you order yours and it don't look nothing like it. You're like, hold up, wait. hold up. I thought this was Burger King having my way. This is not the way I wanted it. Oh, well, you got to buy something else, sir, if you want. No. But they fuel our desires. The things that we see more and more, we begin to desire them more. If you say, hey, I want this kind of car, you start seeing it everywhere, right? Because you're like, man, I can't. I know my mom sees that car that she wants all the time. Probably the same color she wants and everything. I ain't going to say what car it is. I might get a whooping. But when you see that kind of stuff, it fuels your appetite. And this is what this week that I started doing. When I crave, like, how many of us have late night cravings, like snacks? Like, you, it's all right. You might crave for some ice cream or something, or some apple pie. Then you go get your ice cream or apple pie. But what I started doing this week, I said, man, when I have those cravings, I'm gonna go read the Word of God. I'm gonna let my flesh cravings trigger me to do something spiritual, because we don't get the late night urge to, oh, let me just go read Genesis. Hallelujah. Even us as Christians, we don't get those urges. You're not going to get the urge unless the Spirit of God is saying, go read your Bible. You're not getting that urge where it says, man, I just want to go pray today. But you're going to all day, you're going to get those fleshly desires. And some of them are not bad, all right? I'm not saying that eating ice cream is bad. But when you follow those cravings all the time, it's going to start getting a little bit, well, it's not that bad now. Wait. It's bad a little bit, but the good outweighs the bad, right? And then, well, I already did half of that bad. Let me go all the way out. Let me go all the way. What happens is your cravings have now fueled your flesh so much where it's like you start thinking it. Oh, I got to go get that real quick. Hey, babe, I'll be right back. I got to go get some soda. I'm feeling it. Right? When you're moved by your flesh like that, it starts to get dangerous. So I've decided, and I want to encourage you to decide to, when you have a craving for something, to pick up your Bible. And most of the people in the world today, you have the Bible in the palm of your hand, called your phone, hopefully. Well, I ain't going to say hopefully, because then some people are going to crave an iPhone or something that Apple makes. But what I will say is this. The Word of God is always there, man. And this is powerful, man. I do a Thursday night Bible study over the phone. And this week, I had two new people call in. One of the kids, he goes, well, kid, he's a man. So he called in, and we were reading, and I gave him one of my Bibles. You know, he didn't have a Bible. Tammy was like, man, he doesn't have a Bible. So I gave him one of the Bibles, And he was like, oh, you're Marcus Franklin? You know, everybody get my name wrong when they first say it. But I was like, no, Marquise, but yeah, that's me. He was like, man, I got a Bible, man. This is, you know, and he was just so excited to get that Bible. And I was like, man, I got plenty of Bibles. I mean, I could find a Bible. I mean, like, I get in my car, there might be a Bible under the seat somewhere because Kayla put it there. But what I am saying is, he's a newly saved person. So when he got the Bible, it brought him excitement. When we're living for God for so long, at times the Bible begins to become a task. Like, oh man, let me get my check for today. Let me make sure I'm doing my prayer thing, check. Let me make sure I talk to God a little bit longer, check. It's no longer exciting because we are being moved by our fleshly desires. So I want to encourage us, just like that cookie, when you get that urge, mother, you must trigger your something in your spirit. Because the word of God say the flesh is willing, or the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When he said that to Peter and Paul, they looked at prayer as a task. It wasn't exciting. Because I'll tell you this, no matter how late it is, if you're doing something exciting, you're going to stay up. Right? Last week, man, I missed the end of the Michigan-Notre Dame game because I was tired. Because it was a blowout in the first half. I was like, man, I ain't going to say hate, but I don't like Notre Dame, man. I wanted Michigan to win. So I turned the game off, right? Go to sleep. It was like 3 in the morning. I had watched 3 other games. I was like, this one's over. So I'm going to go to bed. But then people were talking about it on the Monday Night Football game. I was like, they were like, it's a great week for Michigan quarterbacks because Chad Henne was a Michigan quarterback. Tom Brady was a Michigan quarterback. Denard Robinson was a, and I was like, what are they talking about? It was a blowout. And then they said, man, that was one of the most exciting games we have seen all year. And it could be in NCAA history. Now, when I was watching it, it didn't excite me. So what did I do? I turned it off. Now, for the people that watched the whole game, it was exciting because they saw how, and I'm still trying to see it, how Michigan came back and won that game. Did you see that game? Yeah, you have it on recorded still? Oh, man. But what I am saying is this. If we look at the Word of God as something boring or as a task, we stop reading it. But as we look at reading the word or praying as something exciting, we will get fueled to do it even more, man. And I just want to encourage us to look at it differently. Amen. But Heavenly Father, and this is what I would say too on ending, when you look at it with excitement, it becomes powerful in your life. And this is the power series. So Heavenly Father, we just pray, dear God, that we become powerful in you, dear God. As we talked about today, the gifts of the Spirit, the different gifts, dear God, allow us to operate in these things, oh God. Allow us not to just be consumed with being saved or following Jesus, but allow us to fully follow God. As he said, greater works than I've done, that the people that follow me will do. God, that's power that you had. We want to access that in our life, oh God. And help us deny anything that is not of you and become more and more excited with the work that you have given us, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118, and our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.